Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. How you doing, man? It's so good to have another episode of Blog Talk Radio. If you missed us last week, we apologize because last week we had some technical difficulties. And, you know, it's very rare that we have technical difficulties, but we did. And with that said, I want to remind you that this is Tuesday night. Tuesday night, every Tuesday night, we are doing our support group in partnership with Urban Ventures. So you want to be there. And every Tuesday from 5 to 7, not only do we have child care and a great meal, but we have a great opportunity to help you change your life to be who you want to be, who you need to be, who you got to be. Huh? That's what I'm talking about. Mad Dads in the House stands for Men Against Destruction, defending against drugs and social disorder. Social disorder, which means a whole bunch of stuff. But we hollering at the moms today. All the moms, all the teen moms, and all the moms that was teen moms, and all those that used to be teen moms. That's one thing that VJ Smith will never be, is a teen mom, because I am 100% man, baby, 100%. So we're talking about teen moms, and I got Brittany here with me today. She's one of our guests, and I've got others on the call, on the line. So at any time that you want to chime in or you want to talk about our subject, you press 1 on your phone. A special light will come on our switchboard and let us know that you want to talk about our subject. Brittany, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Now, sounds like you have a lot of experience. Were you a teen mom?
I wasn't a teen mom, but my sisters were, and my best friend was.
And so what do you think some of the issues are with being a teen mom?
I think that they're looking for love. I think they're looking for unconditional love. And that's something that you feel with your child, something that can't nobody take away, something that's theirs, and it's theirs. It's nobody else's but theirs. I think it's about wanting something and wanting something that they have and no one can take away.
So what you're saying is that a young girl wants a mom, wants a baby, but they want the baby because there's no dad around to give them love.
Correct.
And they want some kind of love from a man.
So
they feel like if they get a man, even though they know, well, he ain't my man, but he'll give me a baby,
mm-hmm.
and he cute.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard girls say, I just want to have his baby. I don't care if he just, right?
Yeah. I mean, and I think sometimes that teens reach out for a father figure, and a lot of them end up being single moms. And I have kids, and I wasn't a teen mom, but I'm a single mom of two, you know. And sometimes I feel like a single mom. I feel like a teen mom because I'm 23, and I feel like I'm still too young for kids.
Well, one of the things I know for sure is that kids cost money.
They do.
A lot of money. And the one thing about the system, they don't give you quite enough to take care of your rent, your light, the kids, and all their needs and all the stuff that kids want to do. And so you have to do something to supplement, right?
Correct.
So when you have the more kids you have, the more dollars that you need. And you as, and so that's the other part I want to talk about. And you know, we want callers. I see we got callers on the line, but you need to press that 1. That lets me know on your phone that you want to talk. So whenever you're ready, we'll let you listen in. That's great. But when you're ready to talk, you press that 1 and we'll let you. Me and Brittany will be glad to let you in on the call. What education is critical, because with education, you can make up to $100,000 a year.
Correct.
If you're in science, technology, mm-hmm. or any if math or any of that stuff. But when you get pregnant at a young age.
How many teens actually go back to school and stay in school?
Right, absolutely. And an example for like Brittany, for yourself, what's your dream? And you know, you whatever your dream was, it kind of got deferred a little bit because of the kids. But what was your dream?
My dream was to own my own hair salon. I want my own business. And it's not that it stops your dream. It takes you as twice as long to fulfill your dream, because not only do you have to say, okay, I can't use this $100 to put on my school books. I need diapers. I need wipes. I need to pay my rent. I need to pay my car note if you have a car. I need to have bus fare so I can get back and forth to work to take my kid to daycare. It's more things that you have to think about before you think about, I'm not saying that it's just your feelings, but you can't give back the kid. Like, you could give back a pair of pants or a pair of shirt because you don't like it. It wasn't what you want. It wasn't what you thought. You can't do that. So before, you know, I think before teens and women step out to say what they want, they need to step out and say, what do I need?
Well, you know, you really do need to look at what do you need, because your needs are important. I've seen folks buy Coach purses, and their kids is looking raggedy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen folks with them 4-inch pumps on looking good down at the club. Mm-hmm. and down there. They down there every Friday night and until 3-4 in the morning. But the kids are in need. Some of the kids haven't even had their immunization shots.
Mm-hmm.
They're not prepared to go to school. Yeah. But you out there looking for Mr. Right, and there is no Mr. Right at the club. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean,
you're
you
right.
Meet some guys there, but, I mean, it's not no Mr. Right. And callers, anytime you want to talk, I see you on the line, just press 1. That gives me that signal that you are ready to talk and have some things to say. So just press that 1, and I'll get that signal, and I'll let you in on the line. But, Brittany, I just wanted to say is that I think a mother, that's why you need to mature. It's hard for you to be a teenager and to really be a good mom because simply you are not thinking about being a mother. You're thinking about what you want and what you need.
Mm-hmm.
How many teen mothers have I seen say, you know, my grandma and them, they need to watch my baby. I got to go out. Well, going out is a want.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer, you need to be a mother.
Correct.
You need to raise your baby. How many adults now say, if it wasn't for my grandmother, I don't know what I would do. If it wasn't for my auntie, I don't know what I would do, because mama is not around, because
mm-hmm.
she's too busy doing what she wants to do. So you're absolutely right. Education is important. In order for you to see your dream come true,
mm-hmm.
you've got to go back and get education and try to struggle and do that and still be a parent.
Correct.
And the other piece is relationships. You know, you have two kids, and you were in a relationship, and something didn't work out, and so now you're doing it by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
We have to start taking our time to be with people that will be with us for the long run.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when you say, I just want to have his baby because he looked good, but how is that going to help you when the baby's saying, I need a daddy?
Mm-hmm. And then not only are these teens having kids, but they're picking males that aren't supporting their kids. And this is the big part. You may be a great mom. You may do everything right. But every child deserves a father. They deserve both of their parents. And some women, and I've lacked myself, they talk sweet. They let you hear what you want to hear. And then 9 months down the line, you by yourself. And there's no one to help you but your mom. And how I feel is teen moms need to realize that it's not just them raising their babies. It's their moms helping them raise their babies. Because you can't get a full-time job at 16 because you need to stay in school. You can't go out and buy your kids stuff because you can't get a job because you're in school. So your parents have to lack your lack. So it's best to hold on because it's always going to be there. Boys are always going to be there. The chance of having a family is there. But a family comes with someone who's established. It comes with having a job, with bettering yourself. And one thing that I've learned as a human being, as a single mom, as a person, whatever you lack, your kids lack, and they lack double. So you have to be the influence on your kids because you don't want them to be like you. You want them to be better than you.
So, now that's a good point. You know, we just got two quotes here on Facebook. Jacqueline from Chi-Town called. She Facebooked and she said, they really don't want to know my thoughts on teen moms. That's not cool at all because you're still a child yourself. That's absolutely right. How can a baby raise a baby?
Mm-hmm.
It's just not possible. Even at your age, in your 20s, you're not, you know, you're just becoming an adult.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's time. You're supposed to be learning and absorbing right now. That's mm-hmm. what you're supposed to be doing. And then Quita said, I think if they responsible enough to lay up and have a baby, they need to be responsible enough to take care of the baby. Now, they've been saying that for years.
They have.
But, you know, that still don't help you when you're struggling. We're going to go right to the phone line. Looks like we've got somebody on the call that wants to talk. Your number is 9347. How you doing? And welcome to Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
Welcome to Blog Talk. Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, VJ, this is Trinifon. I'm calling because I think the problem is there's not enough, like, all these young girls, they're out here, they don't have the parents in the household, where they're being structured where, oh, they need to be in school. Their parents is not looking after them the way they're supposed to. They're not getting the love and everything else at home like they're supposed to. It's not just the dad. I think it has to do with the mom, too. And then when they go out here, they find a little boy that, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this. I love you, woo, this and that. And she gets pregnant, and she's all on her own. No, the state is not getting enough resources for these teen moms to succeed. It's more so the teen moms want, or the state wants, I'm sorry, the state, it seems like to me the state wants more single women to stay on welfare because I know for experience for me.
Hello?
Are you there? We lost you. Something happened to the phone, but that's all right. We'll still keep going, and we'll just get you next time. But let me just say this. You're absolutely right. I had a situation that was kind of devastating to me. We were out on outreach in the community, and a baby fell out of the baby stroller, mm-hmm. bumped his head on concrete. And I asked the mother, I said, you want to get on the bus, take your baby to the doctor? Because we were on the bus, too. And she said, I ain't got no bus fare. And I said to her, we'll get you on the bus. She said, well, my friends ain't going, I ain't going. And she took that joint and kept smoking it, and her baby was sitting in the carriage just crying. And I just thought, what kind of mother is that? Why do all your friends have to go to the doctor with you to take your baby to the doctor? And why don't you put this baby first before anything else? And the only reason why you have this baby looks like because nobody watch it for you. And so it just devastated me to see this young mother put her friends and this marijuana before this baby.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that, Brittany?
I think that she is right. The mothers need to step up and take a role in their children's lives, too. Women aren't exempt either. You are definitely right about that. I believe that some teen moms are too young to understand how to be a mom.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not saying that every mom is perfect and it comes with a written book, but it comes with common sense. And a child does not use common sense the majority of the time.
Well, here's the thing here. If you take a gang member and you get two people together and they both in the clique, they in the mob, they mobbed up, and they have a baby. What's the percentage of that baby turned out to be a gang member?
I would say at least 50%.
I would say that baby's going to turn out, if they watching their mom and daddy, then they're going to be doing what their mom and daddy do. Even though they may try to show them to don't do what I do, but if I see you getting money,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to figure out how you getting it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ain't got a job, but you come home with money all the time, I'm going to figure somebody in the family going to do that. I remember that there was a family where the guy smoked some wet and went crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody wanted to tell the mom that one of the family members gave it to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were all associated with drugs and gangs.
Mm-hmm.
But the mom was like, why? What happened to my son? Well, nobody could tell her that we did it.
Mm-hmm.
We killed our own kinfolk because we was getting high. We gave it to him. Told him to get high, you know, because we was getting high. But it's just like when you selling crack cocaine, somebody in your family going to be your customer.
Mm-hmm.
When you're selling hair on, somebody that you love going to be your customer.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look around and you say, dang, and not only did I devastate the community, but I devastated my family, but one of your kids going to be affected and impacted
mm-hmm.
by it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when you wonder why are they robbing folks so bad and doing all this stuff they're doing, think about what it takes for a kid to grow up to rob somebody.
Mm-hmm.
If you loving on your baby, if you giving your baby and nurturing him and giving him the love he needs, he's got a conscience.
Mm-hmm.
But if you ain't got no conscience because you ain't doing the right things, if you are in jail all the time, if you're on drugs all the time, your kid loses a conscience and says,
mm-hmm.
I got to do what I got to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's totally different. Now, the other piece is the medical piece when it comes to being a mom. You don't know nothing about medical stuff.
Yeah.
You don't even know how to take care of your baby. How did you learn as a young mother about how to take care of your baby in terms of medical stuff? How did you learn?
Nobody taught me. It was more you had to teach yourself. You know, my baby fell. I have a one-year-old, and I have a baby that's 3 months old. And there was been times where he slammed his door, and I didn't know whether to take him to the hospital or call the ambulance. You know, there's times where he was coughing in the middle of the night, and I didn't know if I should give him his formula or could he have water yet, you know. And I didn't have a mom. I didn't have a dad. My dad been gone since I was 7. I didn't have that extra oomph that a lot of teens have. You know, I didn't have that person that was there. So I had to learn by myself. I just think that teens and moms need to get in and start loving them for them and start listening to them. Because no kids will be kids. And I've heard this saying multiple times, I'm an adult and you're a kid. Their opinion matters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want to be heard. They want to have some type of say-so. And not saying to control something, but to be a part of something.
Right. So what we're talking about, you listen to Blog Talk Radio with Mad Dads, and the call-in number is 347-215-9262. Our co-host is Gil Baggett and Brittany. Gil just walked in. You know, he had to take care of his medical stuff. We just talking about medical stuff. And, you know, that's what we got to take care of ourselves. A lot of us don't get checkups. We don't take the babies to get checkups. We don't take our kids to get checkups. We don't even go ourselves. We just go, man, it'll go away. Let me drink, have a shot of liquor. Let me smoke a joint or let me do something like that, and I'll be okay. But that's not true. The other part is that when you talk about teen moms and when you talk about what teen moms are, you have to talk about the effect that drugs have on our teen moms and how those drugs impact their lives and how they kind of soften the impact of being a great mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see a lot of fathers going to the liquor store, but a lot of them are going to the liquor store for some of the mothers, you know.
Yeah.
And so as you look at and the crack house, you know, I remember when I used to sell crack, yeah, back in the day, way back. So don't y'all be trying to say, yeah, way back. There was a pregnant lady that wanted to buy some crack, and I just had a thing about that. I didn't want to be a contribution to that. But she came back with a pill in her mouth, said, I got it anyway, and she was so excited that somebody else sold her some crack because she said, if I want it, I'm going to get it. And I just told her, I get that, but I don't want to be the one to sell you that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be the one to destroy your life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be that one.
But teens don't know, the majority of teens don't know the effect of drugs on kids.
Right. And then you wonder why your baby's different,
mm-hmm.
why your baby ain't as healthy as the other baby.
I didn't know, but smoking cigarettes can cause a cleft lip. I didn't know that, and I'm 23.
Yeah.
You know, not drinking water can cause effects to your baby. Not eating right can cause your baby to grow funny. Not having the materials that you need, like your prenatal pills, which you need medical, which some teens don't even tell their parents they're pregnant until they're 6 months. So your baby in went 6 months without prenatal pills. It may be a joke to them, but it's not a joke to the baby in their womb. You know, and fighting with boyfriends and out in the street day and night, you need sleep. You need sleep and everything else when you're pregnant. It's not just waking up and breathing. It's not.
That's right. Well, we're going to talk to Mr. Gil Beggin. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great.
Good, man. We're talking about teen pregnancy, teen moms, and we're talking, that's what our subject today. What's your input?
Well, first I want to say, man, all you brothers out there, man, you know that, you know, we got a North Point Health and Wellness team out there, Mad Dash, that's walking the north side of Minneapolis, and they're extending their resources for you to go get checked out. And the reason I want to say that, because I just came from the doctor, diabetic clinic, you know. And I was back, you know, he commended me for losing weight, you know, and bringing all my statistical numbers down and stuff. They're going to give me that if I come back in 6 more months and if I still had these type of readings, that they're going to take me off this insulin. So I'm not here to brag about myself, but I am very happy about
it. Yeah, that sounds like you're bragging in both of them,
yeah,
baby.
Well,
but that's okay.
Okay, okay. Because BJ was with me when I had the worst attack of my life. I fell out down there on Franklin, and it was like, wow. But this thing about teenage pregnancy, I mean, this is a very serious topic. I mean, it's all over this land, you know. And a lot of reasons that these young kids are getting pregnant, because they say they want somebody to love them. You know what I mean? You know, we ride the bus as Minneapolis Mad Dads in partnership with the Metro Transit. And, you know, we go all over this town, man. And we hear the same things, you know, trumpeting out almost all these young girls' mouths, man. You know what I mean? Like, last year, it was almost expected for girls to get on the bus 18 years old with 2 children and carrying one in their stomachs, you know? And the stress that you see on their faces because the father's not there, you know what I'm saying, to hold one of the babies, to carry the groceries or whatever, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's crazy to see an 18-year-old kid out there, you know, with 2 kids, you know, in a stroller, and she got, you know, she just went to Aldi's, and you know how Aldi's give you all those big old bags and stuff like that, and there's no one to help her, you know? So the reality that, you know, that we're seeing right now is because, like, early on, we always thought that we were part of the lost generations, you know what I'm saying? That they said we was the baby boomers, you know, the kids born in the 50s and stuff like that, and that we was the baby boomers and things like that, you know? But I think we really dropped the ball when it came to our kids and stuff, you know what I'm saying? I mean, the social development of our kids and the responsibilities and stuff, you know what I'm saying? How womanhood is supposed to be and stuff, you know? That we got off in that area of me doing me, you know what I'm saying, me finding myself, you know what I'm saying, free love, flower love, and all that other stuff, you know, and we got off from, you know, just letting the television and letting, you know, materialistical things raise our and babysit our children and stuff, you know, that, you know, women forgot to teach their babies and stuff the importance of their bodies and stuff like that and the value of their womanhood and stuff, you know, so now we got these girls just running around in the streets now and stuff, you know. And, you know, all of them trying to survive because there's nobody really helping because, you know, economical times we find ourselves stressed in now. You know, we got, you know, grandmothers and mothers and kids and grandkids and great-grandkids in the same home, you know. So that's a financial burden on a whole lot of people, you know what I'm saying? So, like, if you don't have that financial support behind you, all those different resources that's available to you, you know, like you said about prenatal care and stuff like this and stuff. These are educational things that we got to hand down to our kids and stuff. And if you don't know them, you can't hand them down, you know. So now we got Big Mama. Big Mama now is 42 years old. Some of them 35, you know. So, you know, we're talking about generational ignorance, you know. And that's one of the biggest crises that we have to face. We have to re-educate our children on the value of them, you know, preserving their lives and understand, you know, self-respect, you know, and understand, you know, the consequences behind making these bad decisions.
You know, a lady pulled up on me the other day, and she had a bottle in the middle of the seat, and she had her daughter sitting next to her, and they both had a cup of liquor, and then there was the baby in the back seat.
Wow.
And I thought, what kind of impression is that? What kind of mother is that? Y'all riding around drinking open bottle liquor in the car, and with the baby in the back, and talking about you want to volunteer to do something.
I want to get with y'all.
Well, what kind of example is that? That's not a good example. I can't get high with my son. I can't drink with my son. I can't smoke weed with my son. I don't do any of that. But if I did, I couldn't do it with my son.
That's right.
You know, and I've heard of parents doing it to break him in. Okay, son, you grown now. We're going to have a – no, let him
– no, what's the excuse, BJ, the popular one? I'd rather them do it in the house than do it in the street.
Right. I'd rather you do it in my house than to do it in the street. Well, that is – you know, they're going to do it in the street because you started them in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're going to do it in the street and in the house. So my other piece is that I think that, you know, when it comes to, you know, teen moms, we have to be careful. We have to be careful of what these teen moms are seeing. They even got a show now. They're showing how the struggle is for these teen moms.
Mm-hmm.
They're showing how tough it is. I believe that the devil is trying to orchestrate how a teen mother cannot understand. Just like you said, you don't know when your kid coughs really what to do. But Big Mama and them that went through 15 kids, they can tell you what, don't use this. They can tell you stuff you ain't even got to go to the store. All you got to do is go down to the girl, get that thing and look like this, pull it off, put it in some hot water, sprinkle it around, put a little honey in there, and let him drink on that. And I bet you, the boys start boo-booing, they're throwing up and everything, you'll be fine in about an hour. But we don't know them family secrets because Big Mama and them is gum.
Right.
And now we done had our kids at 16 and 14 and 15, and we getting pregnant, and the pressure to have sex now is so strong.
Amen.
It's so strong, and it has nothing to do with relationships anymore. I mean, I admire young girls that say, I'm waiting on my husband. I'm waiting on my knight in shining armor. That, why is that so, you know?
But it's not really, I don't see, and that's where I have to stop, because women do want to wait. It's not just women. It's the men that peer pressure them into doing it.
I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I've had situations where I've said no. You know what I'm saying? I don't, no, I'm not interested. And they still come back over and over and over and over and over and over again. I deal with that at 23. And it's like, I said no. Did I say something wrong? You know, and then they make you feel, then they turn back and say, oh, well, I didn't want your number anyway. You ain't that cute anyway. And it's like, well, when I stick to my ground, I'm disrespected.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you 100% because, you know, like working out in the park, you know, we're working at the North Commons swimming pool, and I see it every day. Mm-hmm. I see it every day. I'm talking about kids as young as 8 years old, promiscuous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, I look at it as at first as comical because, you know, when you pick, you say, no, they not.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But then you come, yeah, they are. You know, and then when you confront the situation and stuff, you know, and then you just listen to the immaturity of the kids with the excuses that they make, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I look at the parents that come pick the kids up,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the parents that come pick the kids up, you know what I'm saying, they're in their middle 20s, you know what I'm saying, or early 20s, you know. And you look at the attitudes that the parents have.
Right.
Toward the kids, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You look where they, how they approach the kids, how they speak to kids, how they yell at them and stuff like that.
That's because they don't have patience. They don't know how to deal with the kid because they a kid they self.
We got a caller. We got a caller. You know what? We ain't got much time, but you know, we got this caller, 6535. Thanks to Mad Dad's Blog Talk Radio. You got probably about a minute. Go ahead. What you got on your mind?
Hello?
6535. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, I have on my mind that, I mean, it's teen moms out here, but it's not right because, I mean, as a teen and an older person, how can that be? I mean, when we were coming up as kids back in the day, as teenagers, no, we couldn't be out there playing with the boys and letting them do this and do that to us. Like you guys said, when grandmama, big mama and them came in, hey, we knew what to do. They knew what to do and how to handle us. So, teen moms, y'all need to get it together and keep your legs closed. Where are y'all parents? Once they leave our house at teens, we really don't know what they doing in the streets.
Hey,
so,
well, thanks a lot. Yeah, I appreciate your call. What's your name?
My name is Jacqueline Mays from California.
Jacqueline Mays, that's my girl. All
yes,
right, Jacqueline.
Yes.
I'm so glad you called, baby. Thank you very much.
Well,
you know,
I called today, obviously.
I pumped you up earlier, so we'll talk to you next week. Every Tuesday, 1 o'clock.
All right, I'll be on here every Tuesday at 1 o'clock because we need to do something. We need to get this world back in order.
All right, Mama. Love you.
All right, love y'all too. Have a good one.
Bye.
Well, see, that's what I'm talking about. When you talk about, there's one of the big mamas right there, see? Yeah. She said, hey, I know the deal.
But see, and, when I was 16.
Oh, well, we're off. All right.
When I was 16.
Yeah.
Then I could finally talk to a boy on the phone. He still couldn't come over.
Mm-hmm.
But I could talk to him on the phone. I wasn't allowed to wear makeup. I couldn't even wear lip gloss. I couldn't wear red fingernail polish. And my skirts had to be past my fingers if they went down like this. My skirt had to be past my fingertips, you know. But I see girls with their parents and they shorts up here walking with their mom.
That's right.
Yep.
And if you got your shorts all up here, what he thinking?
Right.
What he thinking?
And, you know, and if you spending the night, you letting us spend the night anywhere. You know there's boys over there.
Parents let the boys spend the night at their house now.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. And they sleep in the same room.
Yes.
I remember if you did sneak, you had to sneak, you know, send a message.
I'm 23 and I can't handle boys
sneaking
out of my mama.
I remember you used to have some colds or something. Like, hey, I'm sneak up there, you know, like about 2 in the morning. You know, but you wasn't sleeping in no same bed. And you better do your thing, come on back down the basement. You wasn't all that. I used to sneak in. I done climbed a lot of roofs back in my day. You know what I'm saying? I should have been a roofer. I know how to get to that, just leave that one window open. I can get. I used to practice. How can I get up? Let me practice. Because tonight's the night. And it's like, yeah, tonight. You know. So. So I don't know. It looks like we're still on the air. Are we still on the air? Let me try one of these callers to see. Are we still on the air? 93. Are we still on the air?
We're still on the air. All right.
Oh well. So well, that's good. What would you like to say about our topic today?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, VJ, I got cut off when I was trying to say what I was saying.
Well, go ahead and say it. It looks like you're still on
okay.
the air.
Well, I just feel like we need more resources for these females. We need more parents to take care of their teenagers, to let them and show them and love on them. I see more moms cursing their daughters out, calling them bees, heffa this, be that. Like, that's not in the way. So when they get to a male, they feel like that's the way they're supposed to be treated. Oh, it's okay for him to call me a bee. It's okay for him to do this, and that. And they lay and open up their legs. They not knowing no better. They not getting educated from their parents on what is the positive way to get love, the respectful way to get love. And then when they do get pregnant, their parents end up putting them out, their house hopping, they don't have enough resources. There's girls out here that's on their second child and don't have resources to go to or places to go to help them because, in fact, they're not looking, there's not enough shelters or not enough resources and programs for the teen moms, so they can't get educated to know what is right and wrong and what can they do to stimulate their child or how to love their child correctly. Like y'all were saying, there's teen moms that smoke in front of their kids. They say whatever they want to say, and they just need to be shown the correct ways how to love. And if they knew the correct ways, they probably wouldn't be getting pregnant because they know they're more important than laying down on their back and opening up their legs to this guy who don't care about them.
Mm-hmm. So that makes sense. Were you a teen mom?
I had my son at 21.
Okay,
but
you weren't ready. You weren't ready for to have your son at 21, right? You weren't really ready.
I could have waited. No,
yeah.
I could have waited because it put me back. I'm not going to say he's a mistake. He's the wonderful, wonderful. He's my blessing. But I could have waited. If I knew some of the things, if I knew the correct way and positive way of who can love me, I wouldn't have laid down with my child's father.
But
because
let me
he's
ask
not
you
a
what?
Father.
Carla, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you know, this city spends a lot of its budget on teen pregnancy, you know, and a lot of the programming that we have are available for our children. You know, I mean, we have numerous, organizations that I can't really even say their names that are doing teen pregnancy awareness programs, sex awareness classes. I mean, they're starting to teach you sex education in the fifth grade now. You know, I mean, so the availabilities of the resources are out there.
But
we're talking about the practical application that when you start to walk through those doors, what is it going to take for us to get the kids to walk through those doors to get this information? Because, like,
Going on the street and actually letting them know, like, because we can offer the services, but if they don't know about the services is at this place, they're not going to go. We need people out on the streets letting the moms know, letting the teens know, like, hey, this place is over here. They help with this, this, and that. You know, if you need help with shelter, if you need help with Pampers, like, I know as when I first had my son, there was a time where I couldn't get my baby Pampers. But you know what I did? I got online. I was smart enough to figure out, okay, there's someone somewhere where I could get some kind of resources to get my son some Pampers because his dad wouldn't do it.
No, I
feel
that.
Like there should be more people on the streets handing out brochures, letting teen parents know they're not alone. There's people out here that's willing to help you. If they're that young, I was 21. If they're 13, 14, 15 years old, they're not going to know this stuff. If they don't have the smart look it up, they're not going to do it. They're just going to say, oh, well, and let that pamper stay on that child.
Now, let me say this. You talked a lot. One of the things that I admire about some of the young mothers is that it seems like it's really, really easy for you to get involved in selling sex and selling drugs and all that. And I admire young mothers that fight that, even though they have to do it out. But they don't just get a body up to people. They don't sell it for money. A lot of young girls do, though. You know, they take their money. They got sugar daddies, and they do their thing. You know, they be getting in them clubs with them old men and all that. They get their money on. But I admire women that don't go for that, you know, riding the pole.
When it all comes down to it, I see what you're saying because I have two kids and I'm 23. And one of my kids' fathers are in their lives. So my youngest daughter is 3 months. And she's never seen her dad a day in her life. My son is almost two and he spent maybe a handful of times with his dad. And I'm a single mom and I know what it's like to not be able to afford diapers. But I also know that I've had people in my life that I've seen 15, 13 that was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see people that you see, you know what they're going through, and then you turn around and lay on your back. That's why I feel that some girls put themselves in the predicament that they're in. Now, some of them don't. But some of them want that I want to be in control. This is my life. This is what I want. I want to go kick it with my boyfriend. Mom, I want to go do this. And as a younger teen, you have got to relate to what you wanted, and even if you knew it wasn't good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, this has been a great discussion. We're going to end this vlog talk. Hey, Jennifer, why don't you come on next week with us, too? Tuesday, the show went over time, and that's all right. I want to thank Gil Baggy. Gil, thanks a lot, man. Any closing comments, sir?
Well, the closing comment I have is that, you know, like, y'all know we the Mad Dads, Minneapolis Mad Dads. We're getting ready to be the Minnesota Mad Dads. We're going to go everywhere. And just like you said, Carla, that you want to see people on the streets, that's what we do. We get up and close and personal, and we give this information. We give these locations. We give these resources out to those who are going to utilize those resources. So I just want to tell everybody out there, you know, that we love you, and there ain't nothing you can do about it.
All right. Any closing remarks, Brittany?
Yes, I have one thing to say. My friend told me a quote today, and she said, if he puts you in it, he can get you through it.
Yes.
And remember that.
Okay, Chittifon, you got any closing comment for us, honey?
No. I wish we could stay online longer.
Oh, that's a good closing comment, because we'll be back. Thanks, everybody, for listening to us on Blog Talk Radio. We'll see you next Tuesday, 1 o'clock.
God bless you.